Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Podcast. I feel as though it should say Confessions Podcast.
No, that is true, yeah. Yeah.
But
that out.
We'd have to get the vicar back in to do that. And that costs money. Anyway, thank you very much indeed for downloading this, another Confessions podcast from your faithful friends at Greatest Hits Radio. It's been a busy week in the parish. Sister Holly has just finished judging the Junior Bake Off Challenge in the village hall, where one little girl spent 16 hours painstakingly recreating the Sistine Chapel in Madeira cake.
I'm still not impressed with it, really. You were just trying to look cool in front of your friends, and it just wasn't very cool, was it?
Wow. Okay.
Bit harsh. But also, scary. Definitely would do that.
Yeah.
Scary. Brother Matt left the parish council in stunned silence when he revealed his plans to greet the Cardinal on an upcoming visit.
With a little kiss on the lips, which is always nice.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
I'm not sure he likes that kind of thing.
No, does he not? Wow.
You better ask him first.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming up, more of the confessions we could never broadcast on the radio, your messages on the parish notice board, and of course, all the confessions from this week on the Simon Mayo Drive Time Show on Greatest Hits Radio. What a fine show that is.
It is, isn't it?
Including the Commander's top secret tale from behind enemy lines, The Spy Who Loved Me, Dora's multinational confession across the border, Maxine's story, the drive-by shouting. First up, we return to different times. In Tracy's confession, everybody has to sometimes break the rules.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Father Simon, I'll take you back to the early 70s when I was a young teenager at secondary school. I wasn't progressing well, but I didn't hate school. It was just the lessons that was my problem. Anyway, I had a best friend in those days, Patricia, and she and I had hours of amusement there. And that is when we actually made the effort to attend instead of bunking off around the local towns and going to Wimpy's, loitering in parks or pulling faces in every photo booth within a 10-mile radius. So you get the idea of the kind of person Tracy was. Mm. Like many pupils, we had created our own names for our teachers. Our maths teacher, Mrs. Pond, we named Lily, obviously. Our chemistry teacher, Mr. Frost, we obviously called Jack. And there was also Dr. Allison. We just called him The Doc and quietly asked him what was up every time we walked past. He found it hilarious.
Yeah.
The school we attended had previously been two separate grammar schools, one each for boys and girls. The head teacher, Mr. Blood, still flounced around in the very officious long black cape that had given him that extra air of importance that was needed for the headship of the posh private school he'd formerly overseen. There was no more fitting name for him than, obviously, Count Dracula. And the Count strode up and down the corridors, waiting to pounce on his victims. Anyway, my best friend and I were on report, which meant that we had to have our report cards initialled by the teacher for each lesson to verify that we'd actually turned up. On this particular day, my friend and I arrived quite early for our maths lesson, unusual for us, but it meant that we had time to mess around for a while before the other pupils and Lily arrived. That's Lily the teacher, obviously. Mm-hmm. After we'd etched our names with our compasses on the lids of the wooden desks we sat at, I decided to... By the way, lots of bad things in this confession. Don't do any of these.
No.
I decided to write on a large piece of paper about the undying love my friend had for the boy who always sat at the desk in front of us. Seeing this, Patricia snatched the paper from me and threw it, crumpled up, into her own desk. Deciding this was not sufficient to clear all evidence that she might have any feelings at all for this boy, she fished around in her satchel and pulled out her cigarette lighter that was hidden at, hidden at the bottom with a packet of 10 number 6 that she was saving for break time. Different times. Yeah. And set fire to the incriminating piece of paper. As the paper rose into the air, whirling around like a newly lit Catherine wheel, the other pupils who'd all started to enter the room suddenly fell silent. We looked up and saw Lily walking up the corridor towards the classroom, our teacher, remember. Somehow we managed to waft and blow until we extinguished the fire inside the desk and closed the lid tight. What could go wrong? Patricia managed to grab her bag and make a leap to the other side of the room, to a different desk, but I was not quick enough, and Lily had entered the room. I flung myself on the floor and crawled to the back of the class and into the store cupboard.
What?
Of course.
Lily proceeded to take the register, the lesson began, and I stayed as quiet as a mouse in the storeroom. I stayed there for half an hour and then crept out and went back to my seat. The lesson progressed until one of the pupils, who was sitting in close proximity to the desks Patricia and I had sat at earlier, suddenly let out a squeal and yelled something like, "Fire!" We turned around to see a long spiral of smoke emerging from the inkwell of said desk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lily ran to the desk, threw open the lid, and saw the smouldering, crumpled paper inside. Fortunately for us all, she quickly disposed of it and no harm was done. And fortunately, there were no legible words left amongst the ashes. Along with all the other pupils, Patricia and I could not understand how this had happened. How did the desk set on fire? And we all shook our heads in disbelief, shouting things about maybe it was the sun through the window and the glass from the ink bottle, maybe. Setting the paper alight. However, Lily wasn't being fooled and took the only course of action she could. She held us to ransom until the guilty party confessed, or everyone would get a detention. Matt's going to like
all
this.
Yeah,
Patricia and I knew, of course, that we had to do the right thing. We knew we couldn't let our fellow pupils suffer a detention with Count Dracula at the helm. Father Simon and the Collective, I'm afraid. Right? This is where we need to ask for forgiveness. We knew this, but we also knew that as Patricia and I were already on report, plus we'd been suspended from the school only the previous month for breaking another stupid rule about smoking in the toilets, we felt we could not risk what punishment might be dealt us if we confessed to this particular crime. I'm also truly sorry that 28 other pupils in Lily Pond's maths class in 1974 had to stay behind and endure the quips and snarls the Count spouted throughout that very long hour. Moreover, I now know that what we did was extremely dangerous and reckless.
Has that been added on?
Yeah, no, no, that's there. I'm quite sure some of the other pupils knew who had committed the crime, but for some reason they chose not to grass us up. We did act very selfishly. We were concerned about what heinous punishment Count Dracula would conjure up this time. Yes, we were cowards, but, Holly, it was our parents that we didn't want to let down. Well, Patricia's lovely parents, mine didn't give a hoot. I would like to apologise to all the other pupils that were in classes Patricia and I were in during 73 and 74 at that school for the disruptions we caused. Also, and I'm not looking for points here, Holly, I never actually smoked. I was just pretending. I ask for forgiveness too for the stress we must have caused our teachers. I later became a teacher and have had to deal with many challenging situations, but none that has involved fire, smoke, or inkwells come to that. In fact, there are very few teacher situations that involve inkwells these days.
Yeah.
These, of course, Holly, were wells where ink were placed.
Yes. Okay, right.
Where you put your quill and wrote from there. Anyway, a fabulous bit of a slice of life from a 1974 secondary modern school. Sister Holly.
It's pretty shocking, isn't it, really? The sort of the bunking off school, the smoking. She says she didn't properly smoke. I'm still not impressed with it, really. You were just trying to look cool in front of your friends, and it just wasn't very cool, was it? And frankly, I think you deserved the punishment because you were the one who set that dangerous piece of paper alight, and it was very, very dangerous, and people could have gotten hurt. And so it was very grateful that Lily came along and saved the day. It really wasn't good, and those poor classroom, those classmates who then got punished because of you and your dreadful ways. And so that's why I'm not forgiving at all.
Blimey, she's off on one there.
Yeah.
Brother from another gutter.
Patricia and Tracy strike me as somewhat intimidating, don't they, with Embassy Number 6 and setting fire to their desks. But it was just one piece of paper, wasn't it? It was hardly Towering Inferno.
We were smoking in the toilets. Yeah.
Well, they were doing a bit of that as well. But in a way, didn't we all learn a lesson, and everyone learned a lesson there, which is don't set fire to your desk.
And
they
smoke.
Didn't do it again.
No.
So for that reason, and also she's now, you know, poacher turned gamekeeper, she's now a teacher herself. So everyone's learning lessons all the time. It's like the circle of life. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Right. Eventually we get to
Circle of Life. Yeah. Circle of Life, and it's the system's fault. It's
what's that on your face?
Those are my new glasses. I'm having to start wearing glasses now, everyone. I believe I look far smarter.
Are they not your mum's?
It's like I'm sat next to a different person.
It is, isn't
you look
it?
Really
yeah,
different
yeah,
with
yeah,
them
yeah,
on.
Yeah, hugely yes. smart.
Like intelligent.
Yes, dead mm-hmm. intelligence.
Anyway, it was a fun confession. With half day closing on Wednesdays, Embassy Number 10,
mm-hmm.
inkwells, and a cultural education for Holly, because she didn't understand most of that. Because it's from another era.
Well, yes.
And you can always rely on the people's verdict to venture even deeper into different times.
Jess in Worthing says, forgiven. Reminds me of my mum who passed snuff around her classroom, causing her teacher to cancel the class, thinking there was some sort of epidemic.
pass round snuff. What kind of a school is it? That's going to be like an elite boarding school.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
How many schools have got a snuff problem?
And yeah, exactly. And where are you getting all this snuff from? That's what I would like to know. Because
well, I don't know. You could probably get it online, I suppose.
Online snuff. No,
yes.
Yeah, very careful how you put that into Google.
Anyway, very, very uncomfortable areas that we're moving into. So let's concentrate on the parish notice board because it's always familiar and lovely. This is your bit. Anything you want to share with us, emails and tweets and reviews, send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Yeah, so first up, reviews of last week's service, and I cannot emphasise enough that we only read out the reviews where you give us 5 stars. So 5 stars says Faf Chick, woohoo, you're back. I was gutted when you guys left the other place and thought the confessions was to become a thing of the past, a fond memory. Imagine my excitement when I came across your new podcast. Made my day. I now look slightly psychotic, laughing out loud as I complete my morning walks while listening to the latest confessions. Brilliant. 5 stars, says Crazy OES Lady. Amazing podcast. So glad Confessions is back. Takes me back to listening on the way home from work and was gutted when you left the other place. Now I'm not working, but I am running. I can chortle along whilst running the park run at the weekends. Thanks so much for the laughs. And 5 star from Lisa Beachwood, who...
Lisa Beachwood's an actual ordinary name.
Yes.
Using her name. Well done, Lisa. 5 stars. So pleased to have found you again. I loved your show on that other station and have re-listened to all the Confessions podcasts from then. Now I have new ones to catch up on. And just to say, we are on the air. You can listen to us every weekday. You can hear us. So we are still on. Hear Confessions on your way home. You just need to retune to Greatest Hits Radio. Not that hard.
No, it isn't, really. So what have we got here? Simon, I have... Joe in Braintree.
Mm-hmm.
I have your book of Confessions from quite a few years ago. Good heavens.
Yeah.
And it was the funniest book I've ever read. To discover your wonderful show is back on the radio was fabulous in itself, but to then have the Confessions podcast was the icing on the cake. I listen to the podcast mostly on my walk into and back from work while I try to stifle my giggles, but this morning, listening to the Thai Confession by Knuckles in episode 1, it's hilarious and I couldn't help but laugh out loud. You and your team are the best.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe in Braintree.
Emma Keys says, Dear Simon and the team, I've just caught up on your latest podcast, an excellent accompaniment to my run, even if passers-by think I'm slightly mental for giggling away to myself. As a long-term listener, going all the way back to 1996, when I would listen to your show whilst cleaning tack, I was bereft for a time when Confessions vanished. Here you are again, though, thank goodness. It's just a shame that censorship is such a harsh mistress these days. I've got one from the crypt that I'd love to hear again. This one had me in stitches, and I'm waiting for a chance to try it out with a relative myself. It's the one about the family going out for an afternoon walk and they like playing the odd prank on each other.
Yes.
The mum pops a remote control fart machine in grandma's pocket. Then whilst out on their walk, they hang back to watch grandma negotiate a style at the same time as a gentleman and his dog are coming in the opposite direction. As she swings a leg over, the button on the remote control is pressed and I'll leave the rest of it to you. Matt's laughter always makes everything funnier. And I think he was having trouble breathing for laughing at that one. I think I do remember that. Many thanks and keep up the entertainment.
I wonder why you read that one specifically.
Yes, well, imagine my surprise.
The one that praises you.
And the one that involved breaking wind.
Yes. Yes.
I've got Stephen in deepest Cornwall. He says, Hello, Father Simon, Brother Matt and Sister Holly. I am typing this email to you to say welcome back and tell you about the best pound I've ever spent. Not only did I get 12 issues of a well-known TV magazine on trial before I inevitably strategically cancelled, but I also read in their podcast review a recommendation to your returning podcast.
Hurrah!
Thank you to everyone involved in getting the show back into the pod sphere for us all to giggle at other people's expense. He says, My memory has long given up being reliable, but I remember a confession from the crypt where Simon was giving an impression of a voice coming from a car which was fooling people. That's all I recall aside from finding the voice highly entertaining.
Yeah, they had a loudspeaker on the mounted on the front of the car.
Yeah.
And as people approached, he would go on the microphone and talk to them. I can't remember what the context was, but it was
with reference to Knight Rider, wasn't it? Because Knight Rider at the time was huge.
I feel as though I'm talking to my accountant.
I can't. By the way, I can't see you at all. I wear these glasses for reading. That's literally.
I thought you were going to say you wear them
for style. See. Oh, I add style, obviously.
Well, you should have got bifocals then.
Well, I know. Yeah. Well, I didn't. I don't understand the language of glasses really. All I understand is reading and driving.
Yeah,
and
bifocals driving. Is what you need.
Is that what they need? Varifocals. Varifocals. Mm. Well, yeah, sounds a little too complex.
For you.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It might make you not look like you're counting. This is from John and Russell in New South Wales. As someone who's listened to you and enjoyed the confessions for literally decades, I was, of course, ecstatic to learn of your resurrection. When I moved to Australia 16 years ago, the Confessions podcast was a valuable link with old Blighty and Sister Gillian in Newport, in that order. Over the years, I've introduced many Antipodeans to your sermons, especially my Aussie husband John and our friend Russell. They have learned much about life in the UK through listening to the podcast, and we now eagerly anticipate our weekly dose of laughter, schadenfreude, stern judgment from Sister Holly, and inexplicable leniency from Brother Matt. We are once again evangelising for you with 5 stars on the iTunes and spreading the gospel far and wide from your devoted disciples on the shores of the Pacific. John and Russell in New South Wales. Very good. Thank you. Thanks to everyone keeping in touch and sending us stuff. confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Quick few mentions from me too. Matt Cherry, Maria Mahoney, Daryl Davis, Ali Blodd, Liam Miller and Kim Reynolds, who were amongst the many who tweeted the secret phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, the inexplicable "Sounds like Bertrand Russell."
Yeah. Do you know, I found some audio of Bertrand Russell
talking.
It's
crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, and it did. Yeah, Holly was absolutely right. It did sound a bit like you doing your Derek.
It wasn't very helpful because nobody really knows.
No, nobody knows what he sounds like, really, no.
Apart from Holly.
Yeah.
Keep listening through to the end of the podcast to find this week's secret code phrase. Now, a quick trawl through the gutter, obviously, the confessions that ended up in the file marked, "I don't think so." This is because there are rules for Tea Time Radio which don't actually apply to this podcast. Why don't they apply?
You've done
the training.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's Ofcom, isn't it, really? And also because if it's tea time, you don't want anything to do with sort of bodily fluids or things like that. You want a bit less of that, I suppose.
Fewer fluids.
Mm.
Okay, good to know. That's in the Ofcom training, was it? Fewer fluids.
Fewer fluids.
Okay, so this one from Danielle, who, while trying to make a good impression on her first time away with her boyfriend's family, embarked on a quick bathroom tidy-up at the holiday cottage. Unfortunately, she knocked the pot of toothbrushes into the unflushed toilet.
Oh, wow.
Too embarrassed to tell anyone what had happened, she simply gave them all a quick rinse under the tap and returned them to the pot before nipping to the shop to buy herself a fresh toothbrush.
I mean, is that really so bad? I mean,
yes,
yeah,
that's not good.
Gave them a wash.
Just a word of advice. You know. If your confession involves a toothbrush, 100%, it's not going to be used.
Oh, right, toothbrush.
Because
and
there is just, yes, and if you're in the
laxatives.
Army. And laxatives. Also, Graham, who, while reverse parking the car, which is never a good start to any confession, at the retail park, collided with the car next to him. Hoping nobody had spotted him, he drove away and parked at the other end of the car park and waited for the innocent owner of the car, now parked next to his, to return before accusing them of causing damage to his car so he could obtain their insurance details and make a claim for the damage.
Yeah, that's definitely not getting on.
That's not good.
Because that's actually...
illegal.
That is fraud. So
yes.
No, Graham.
Graham, you can go to prison 2 years.
It's harsh.
Pretty arbitrary, that. Do you really? Think? Yes, I don't
I
think.
Just instinctively think 2 years.
two years, send
boom.
Him down.
Yes.
Send him down.
Okay. I was thinking more a fine, you know? Yeah.
A fine?
Yes. No.
Couple of grand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Send it to confessions at greatest.
That's very much how the Supreme Court works, isn't it?
I think
couple
so.
Couple of grand, do we reckon? Yeah, lovely.
Yes, I think so.
Let's say lunch.
Now let's get back to the confessions that did make the cut. This one, a top secret tale from the Commander.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Confess all. We won't tell anyone.
Father Simon, forgiving Brother Matt and unforgiving Sister Holly. My confession occurs in the time just before the first Gulf War, and the Iron Curtain still existed, and way before Holly was born. So we're kind of late 80s, I think.
Yeah.
That's what we are. I worked for a company that the commander is very opaque at a number of points in this
deliberately,
confession.
Yes. Yeah.
I worked for a company, let's just say, specializing in communications, mm-hmm. and he's put that in inverted commas.
Right.
It was going to be an exhibition in Baghdad for local manufacturers.
Okay.
I feel very unsettled. To put it into context, this was at the time of the Iraqi supergun and Matrix Churchill affairs. Worth Googling, Holly,
okay.
for details, says the commander. The Iraqi president was a fan of superguns, which were space guns that could launch objects into space. And Matrix Churchill was an engineering company that were acquired by Iraqi interests. All very Slough House, but that's...
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Do you feel as though you're up to speed and fully briefed?
I think so, yep. Okay. I think I'm there.
I was asked by a government department who reside in a donut, so that means it's GCHQ,
yeah.
to look out for certain devices on the Eastern Bloc country stands at this fair in Baghdad. Lots of them were attending this exhibition in Baghdad, and they asked me to collect any relevant information for Queen and country.
Oh.
I have to tell you, Father Simon, I was in my early 20s and still naive in the matters of personal safety, so I said yes. So walking around the said exhibition, I came across a Bulgarian stand with some devices of interest. Again, I have no further okay. detail. What on earth can these devices of interest yeah. be? I was accosted by a very polite, large lady dressed in a brown trouser suit. Again, to put this into perspective, at the time I was 9.5 stone, which is 65 kilograms.
Okay, right. So, a slight chap, then.
The lady in my eyes was clearly a former Olympic shot put champion.
Ah.
She was at least twice my size in girth, height and weight. She welcomed me onto her stand, giving me a Bulgarian bear hug and kissed me on both cheeks. Clearly, she had not had much interest from local punters as she proceeded to show me every product on her stand. After 30 minutes, I managed to extricate myself from her grasp and she promised to give me some documentation the following day.
Literally could be documents, but anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, the next day, Hilda the shot put lady arrived on our exhibition stand, much to the mirth of my colleagues, as she was now wearing a very short red miniskirt with a loosely unbuttoned blouse, bright red lipstick, and
oh dear.
She came bearing gifts. She put down her gifts so that she could give me a bear hug and planted red lipstick all over my cheeks. My colleagues were laughing uncontrollably, the bounders. I changed that bit.
Yeah.
She presented her gifts, lots of GCHQ donut interesting documentation.
Okay.
A bottle of Bulgarian champagne.
Sounds lovely.
And 5 LPs of Bulgarian love songs.
Oh, I love them all.
She eventually departed by giving me a final bear hug with a slug of a kiss on the lips before whispering in my ear to come over and see me later.
Ooh.
Clearly, she Hello. Thought I was potential double agent material.
Yes.
I was being recruited. They were testing the waters. Father Simon, I have to say, I left the country hastily. I presented the documentation to the donuts at GCHQ and recounted my tribulations. The donuts were very grateful, but laughed considerably. So I handed over the Bulgarian love songs LPs and told them
good.
Told them where to shove them, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I did drink the Bulgarian champagne, which was surprisingly good. So I don't seek forgiveness from the donuts at GCHQ. Probably had to suffer the indignity of listening to all of the LPs in case there was any covert material contained within the songs. I do seek forgiveness from Hilda the Bulgarian shot put lady for not having the courage to reciprocate her husky advances. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But not that I wanted to be a double agent. If you read this out, could I have a couple of mugs rather than a smart speaker, please?
No.
Management has just dropped and broken my favourite mug. So would that be the management of GCHQ?
Could be, could be.
That's very careless of them.
Or the other one.
M has broken the mug.
Yes.
And Q.
And C.
And them.
And other letters.
anyway, so it's very interesting. Who knows what was being sold, but something very, very dodgy for certain. Sister Holly.
It's so difficult because you were there, you know, you're representing the country. And so I understand, but also I feel slightly sorry for Hilda. I feel like you led her on, you know. You know, she kissed you on the lips. That's actually...
I don't think Hilda needed a lot of leading on.
That's quite good. I think she was pretty into... Yeah. She was pretty into the commander. And I think he could have maybe let her down a bit more gently. And so I feel a little bit sorry for her. And so it's a light not forgiven for that reason. Yeah, because I think he led her on for that half an hour. I think he could have played it a bit cooler, to be honest.
I think she could look after herself.
Yeah, no problem.
By the sound of it.
Definitely.
Brother Matthew.
I think everyone's coming out of this well, because I think Hilda has gone back to her bosses and said, oh, yes, I've sent the champagne and the records and all the documents over to the spies in James Bond, and they're doing their stuff with them. So, mission accomplished. Well done, me. Can I have some more champagne? And also, obviously, the commander did well with a little kiss on the lips, which is always nice. Anyway, so I'm
not necessarily from
maybe. I mean, in a different life, him and Hilda could have been running off to the goat farm together. So who knows? Who are we
to
judge?
Goat farms in Bulgaria.
Definitely do. Along with the champagne, lovely as it is. So, going to forgive.
For that reason, you're going to forgive.
Yeah.
Then we find out that there are goat farms in Bulgaria.
There are obviously... Yeah. Goat farms in Bulgaria. Is it Bulgaria?
Yes.
Why is it obvious?
Well, it would be weird if Bulgaria, of all places, didn't have a goat farm.
Why of all places?
Because of the famous link between goats and Eastern Europe.
Which is what? What is that famous
Very
link?
Famous. Don't even need to explain it, really. Most people listening will know of the famous link between the goat and Eastern Europe.
No. Yeah. The only goat which is referenced in this podcast is the goat that disappeared
down
the well in
Cornwall. Yeah, which we don't do anymore. We can't. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was heartbroken after that. Yeah. That sounded very sad.
We'll get over it. Yeah. You know, it's a long time ago. And it's probably an apocryphal story.
Yeah.
Obviously, that might have provoked a thought in your in your mind. Maybe you work for GCHQ. Maybe you're a member of MI5 or MI6.
If you keep it vague, you know, then yes. I'm sure we can definitely broadcast
it. You can say, you know, I was involved in activities, and then we can blur the fact that it was Poland or East Germany.
Definitely, That
kind of thing. I mean, we might give away your name by mistake.
That does happen.
Might leave it on the train.
Yeah. Anyway, still to come on the Confessions podcast, we head to the beach for another classic from the crypt, You Can Leave Your Hat On. Come to think of it, You Can Leave Everything Else On as Well. Was that the whole title? My goodness me. Dora the Explorer's multinational confession across the border. And next, Maxine's tale, The Drive-By Shouting.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Maxine sends in tonight's confession. Thank you, Maxine. Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Holly, No Forgiveness and the Forgiving Collective. Your reputation is a strong one. My confession goes back to the early 90s, when people carriers were quite new on the road. I worked for a building society in central London. I'm hoping that I've taken out all the stuff. I just should have checked this.
Oh, no.
I worked for a building society in central London, and an old customer from a previous office offered to take me out for dinner, as I had helped him a lot with mortgage information for his new business as a financial advisor. Hopefully this is where Matt decides to forgive me straight away.
Why would that be? Because of mortgage advisors?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You love them.
That's my soft spot. Right, okay.
Anyway, Clive, please change his name.
Definitely should have checked this beforehand.
Let's stick with Clive.
Okay.
It's too late now.
Fine.
Clive picked me up from work and we drove to Covent Garden, where he parked the car on Longacre. I did mention that it was before 6 p.m. and he should... probably get a ticket, you know, but he said it's going to be fine.
Oh, right.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So we enjoyed a lovely, purely platonic dinner at the same restaurant used in the film Four Weddings and a Funeral, where Hugh Grant and Andy McDowell discussed previous romantic partners. But anyway, I digress. Clive, not his real name, and I chatted about all sorts of things. We had a lot in common, as we both loved travelling. He was just telling me about when he worked for a certain city council, and a friend in the parking department used to lose any parking tickets that he got, and in fact still did so. It was just at this point, and just as I was about to start on my main course of salmon, which was delicious, by the way, it's like a Ronnie Corbett diversion.
It is, isn't it?
That I saw his car being towed away.
Oh!
He had his back to the window, so he didn't see anything. My initial thought was, your mate won't be able to help you out with this one, pal. Needless to say, I didn't tell him, and I carried on with my dinner. I kept it to myself for a number of reasons. One, I thought he'll probably get quite angry about his car being towed away, and that would be a bit embarrassing, as I didn't know him very well at this point. Secondly, he couldn't do anything about the car at that stage because it was already towed. Three, it would have spoiled the whole evening. And four, more importantly, I might have had to pay for the meal.
That's true.
What?
Yeah.
When we left the restaurant, he offered me a lift home, not realising that his car wasn't there anymore. But I made an excuse about my train being due and that my boyfriend would probably be on it. So I ran like mad down the Strand to Charing Cross Station, and Clive, not his real name, walked away in the moonlight to Long Acre and to his car, or so he thought. Under normal circumstances, I would have been in his car like a shot rather than getting a late-night train. Who wants to do that? Not me. But anyway, I couldn't get a lift because the car didn't exist anymore. Anyway, to his horror, the car wasn't there, and so he went to Bow Street Police Station to report the fact that it had been stolen, at which point the police officer apparently said, "No, Mr. Jacobs, it hasn't been stolen. It's been taken to the pound at Vauxhall." So Clive Jacobs...
yes, who we've just named, yep.
...had to get a taxi there to retrieve his car, paying a huge parking fine and pay for the car to be released, as well as having paid for dinner. So all in all, a very expensive night for him. He called me the next day to tell me all about it, and I acted very shocked.
Yeah.
In fact, my colleagues thought I should get an equity card for my stellar acting performance. Mm. I have toyed with sending this confession for many years, so now is the time to seek your forgiveness. So, Clive Jacobs, sorry about your car being towed and not telling you about it, even if I did see it happen, and it would have helped if you'd actually paid for it in the first place. Maybe next time, get a ticket for your parking like everybody else. So much easier than going to the compound and paying hundreds of pounds, just saying. A rules-based society is there for a reason, Clive. The Sex Pistols might have wanted anarchy in the UK, but the rest of us, not so much. Just think about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Clive. Mm.
By the way, we remained friends for a number of years and had many more successful nights out after that, but I never told him about his car. We lost touch in the 90s and he moved to Holland. So I do hope, for my sake, that he still lives there and never hears this confession, because he'll know it was me. Mm. Well, he absolutely will know it's Hugh. I mean, it's not going to be very difficult to try and remember who actually was there when his car was towed away. But Maxine saw it and didn't say anything because she was afraid she was going to have to pay for it herself. Well, we all know people like Maxine, but here's Sister Holly, she's always forgiving. Not.
Yes, well, Maxine, you weren't a very good friend that evening.
Not at all.
You sat there whilst seeing his car being towed away. I mean, I'm surprised that you acted so calmly whilst seeing the car being towed away. It would have been written all over my face if that
Everyone
had been me.
Everyone would say, your car's going...
Look, oh my gosh, your car. Yes, but she didn't do that, and that's really disappointing because it was a very selfish reason because she didn't want to pay the bill.
Yes.
And I don't think that's very good and not very admirable, and that's why I'm not forgiving at all.
Brother from another country.
Yeah, I'd have done exactly the same. Exactly the same.
You just let the car get towed
just
away.
Let it go. No, it's gone. The car's gone. There's nothing you can do about it. Also, it's going to ruin the night. She's absolutely right. We're ruin the night. Also, she might have ended up having to pay the bill. That's a supplementary. But it's, nothing you can do.
It did ruin
gone.
The night for
it's
Clive.
Gone. It's different, obviously. Well, Clive needs to start obeying the rules like everyone else, Clive, when you're not arranging all of your mortgages. Yeah, looks like the rules do apply to the mortgages as well, doesn't it? Sunshine.
Swatting in here with your paperwork.
Swatting off to Eindhoven or wherever it was you ended up. So for that reason, with all your mortgages, I'm going to forget.
So it was an anti-mortgage.
It was an anti-mortgage rat.
You don't need a new mortgage, do you?
No, not just yet.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Morals of a sewer. Anyway, yes. Which puts me in mind of today's confession, which comes from Dora the Explorer. Thank you, Dora. Way back in the mid-1960s, my husband and I felt that our two daughters, aged 4 and 6 at the time, were ready for their first family holiday abroad. We decided that we would drive to Germany and visit my aunt and uncle who'd been posted there by the Canadian Army. It's a very multinational confession, as you're about to find out, featuring a language that has never been heard on this show before.
Wow.
We had a good holiday with them, but left earlier than planned in order to fit in a tour around this part of Germany for a day or two on our way back to the ferry port for home in England. We didn't have a great deal of money, so decided to do things on the cheap and look out for a B&B instead of a hotel. I feel that I should point out at this time that as far as foreign languages go, I only spoke a very limited amount of French and even less German. But as I believed that most Europeans had a fair smattering of English, I would be able to cope just fine.
Okay.
After all, we British have a tradition of speaking slowly and in a very loud voice until we have made ourselves understood throughout the world. Everything would be fine. So off we set on our unplanned adventure. We duly travelled around in a kind of a rather haphazard way, to be honest, never quite sure where we were, until we entered a nice large town where we felt we would like to stop, look around a bit, and maybe even stay the night. My husband drove around in the suburbs, as we were more likely to find cheaper accommodation there than in the town centre. Soon we spotted a house with a large illuminated sign in the front garden. I didn't understand the writing on the board, which was new to me, but it was obviously a guest house sign, so I knocked on the door. I mean, what could possibly go wrong? The lady who answered spoke neither German nor French, which I thought was rather odd. However, she called for her daughter, a schoolgirl of around 13, who said she was learning French at school, and could she be of any help to us? I told her in my bad French that we wanted a room for the night, that our daughters could share with us, and we had sleeping bags for them if needed. Well, the girl spoke with her mother in their unintelligible language for a while, and as I had been joined on the doorstep by my husband and daughters, we were all invited into the house. We waited in the hallway for a few minutes, and then the lady showed us into a large and beautifully furnished ground floor bedroom. We thanked her, we left our luggage, and then the four of us went off to explore the town. Having played tourists for a couple of hours, we made our way back to our newfound guest house and settled our girls into bed for the night. We asked, and this sounds as though you're chancing your arm here, Dora. We asked the teenage daughter if she'd be kind enough to babysit for our girls so that my husband and I could go out for an evening meal. She readily agreed, so off we went, found a pleasant restaurant and enjoyed a tasty meal, plus a drink or two. Then back to the house, quickly into our large and comfortable bed and fast asleep in seconds. Beautiful. Well, the next morning, the landlady showed us into the dining room where we had a traditional and very substantial breakfast. A little later, the schoolgirl came into the room and I told her that we'd very much enjoyed our stay and that we were ready to leave and ask for the bill. She looked a little confused but spoke to her mother, who then picked up the telephone and began a long garbled call in that language,
in language
I'd never heard before. Puzzled, I asked the girl if there was a problem. No, she replied, my mother is asking a friend how much she should charge you, because this isn't a guest house.
Oh, no. Aww.
But you have a large advertising sign outside, I said. Yes, it says Bitsmaschen Reparata High, which is Luxembourgish for sewing machines repaired here. I confused a sewing machine for a house. In Luxembourg, their sewing machines look like houses. With a very red face, I apologised profusely, swallowed hard, and paid the bill. Remember, Bitsmaschen Reparata High, Luxembourgish for sewing machines are mended here. Who knows when you're going to need that? I feel that any further apology to the very accommodating Luxembourg family is unnecessary, as everything ended happily with much laughter and many hugs before we left. However, having finally made my confession, I now apologise to my daughters, who for so many years have been under the false impression that their mother was fluent in both French and German and a little bit of Luxembourgish, and could quite happily talk her way around Europe without stitching up anyone. So very sorry, girls, for misleading you for so long. P.S. Apologies to the Luxembourgers for not knowing that we'd actually strayed into their country in the first place. So, Dora the Explorer, wanting some forgiveness. I'm not sure whether she deserves it, really. I mean, how can you not know that you're in Luxembourg? That you've actually left Germany and France and you're in a different country? Anyway, I mean, that could have ended up disastrously, but fortunately, the Luxembourgers are clearly very hospitable.
Yes.
And welcomed the family in. Why didn't they just say no?
Yeah. I thought that was surprising.
Anyway, that's what I'd have said.
Yeah, no.
Well, no forgiveness here, and for two reasons. One, how did you not know that you were in Luxembourg? I find that surprising.
Yes.
And also the fact that you went on holiday and you didn't think maybe to learn a bit more of the language just to get by. I think it was a bit disappointing that you didn't
was
know
it?
Very
yes.
much. And so that's why I'm not forgiving at all.
Very judgmental, as ever. Matthew, what do you say to Dora?
So I'm going to forget. I mean, the first thing to say is Luxembourg, very small. So you could drive out of it and hardly notice it. One end of the street to
there
the
might
other.
Be a sign that says you are now entering
Luxembourg.
Maybe, and maybe not looking at the sign. Also, who puts a neon sign in their garden saying, I repair sewing machines? It feels a bit of overkill there,
Luxembourg
really.
Luxembourg in the 60s.
Just, I mean, you just put
it was the home of broken sewing machines.
Clearly, loads of sewing machines in Luxembourg. Highly unreliable, needed to put a neon sign.
People travelled for miles.
Neon sign in the garden, I don't think that's necessary. Also, if she wasn't prepared to put people up in the room, shouldn't have let them in the house. So really, isn't it their fault in a way? But then we all learnt a lesson, didn't we?
Did we?
So, to do with sewing machines and their reliability in Luxembourg, so therefore I'm going to forgive.
It's quite difficult keeping hold of the logic sometimes as we go through your litany of reasons.
I'm realising me constantly saying we've all learned a lesson.
Yes.
That's now going to need a bell every time I say we've all learned a lesson.
To be honest, though, absolutely everybody, if the door went and you open the door and there's a family who say, hi, we'd like a room, would go... No.
Yeah, it is weird, isn't it?
No,
yeah.
Everyone was... I mean, the 60s wasn't that crazy, was it?
I suppose, though, if someone knocks on your door and isn't saying, can we have a room, is saying, yeah, we'd like a room, please.
Well, no.
You would say no.
Because
they would be so full of confidence that you would think, oh, maybe I've forgotten. Maybe someone else in the house has agreed for this family to stay.
Who else is going to agree with them? Take
them upstairs and show them the guest room.
And you'd cook them the Phil English?
I would be...
if that happened in a movie, they would never leave the house again.
No, they'd be under the floorboards. Oh, my goodness, no.
Before dinner.
Yeah.
Anyway, very strange behaviour. Into the crypt again now for another classic from the archives. Faye, thank you for sending this. Father Simon, how wonderful to have you back in service at your new parish. I've been listening and laughing to confessions since your days on The Breakfast Show, which surely, not wishing to age either of us, must be almost 10 years ago.
And then some.
No, I think it was about... It was about 10 years.
Really?
If you can find it in the depths of the crypt filing system, the confession that had me in fits of laughter that I'd like to hear again is the one about the skinny-dipping couple in Greece who misplaced their clothes. Loving the new podcast. Keep up the outstanding work. Faye and Didcot. So, digitally restored from an old Sony mini disc this very morning. This is Debbie's Tale, which we called at the time. You can leave your hat on. Come to think of it, you can leave everything else on as well.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Deborah and Lizzie send in tonight's confession. They are sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's Deborah and Lizzie. Father Simon and all.
Oh, hi.
It's a little bit dismissive.
Hi, Deborah. Yeah.
My sister and I are asking your forgiveness. I think Debbie is the lead on this. Asking your forgiveness for an incident which happened on the sunny Greek island of Kos. It involves an incident whilst holidaying there with my husband, my sister and brother-in-law in the summer of 1999. Instead of having a meal in the hotel again, we decided to head down to the local tavernas that run parallel to the beach, just a few minutes' walk away. After a lot of whining and dining, especially the whining, we bid our farewell to the very attentive staff, thanking them for a truly memorable evening. Intending to proceed back to the hotel for a little nightcap, a spot merrier than we were when we left, just to say the least, on the cusp of too much alcohol consumption in this story, my husband looked across at the sea and said, anyone fancy a skinny dip?
Now, this is always
an unwise thing,
no.
Particularly in a confession. Anyway, This is what husband has said. With the moon shining down on the sparkling water, it did look very inviting. But having spent quite a while trying to look this good for hours before, my sister and I declined, say Deborah and Lizzie. We said we wouldn't. Thanks very much. My brother-in-law says, well, it'd be rude not to. So next thing, they were stripping off and diving in. We watched on laughing, saying, what fools, men, losers.
Yep.
Why are they doing that? We decided to stroll back to our hotel and leave them to it, shouting, we'll see you back at the hotel bar. They gave thumbs up and carried on with their nudie swim. We looked momentarily down at their clothes, which were strewn over the beach. My sister said, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
My reply was, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
We started picking up the clothes, the wallets, the sunglasses, giggling as we did so. There was a big stack of sunbeds piled up ready for the next day. We hid behind them for a few minutes to see if they'd noticed. But no, they were oblivious. They were just boys having fun skinny dipping. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, back at the hotel bar, sipping our cocktails, about an hour later, I said to my sister, it's been quite a while, hasn't it? I'm beginning to worry. I'm thinking about going back to the beach. Just then, all of a sudden, two drippy figures appeared in the doorway of the cocktail lounge, wrapped only in tablecloths, looking like low-rent Julius Caesars.
Oh, dear.
However, I should say Julius Caesar without their loincloths.
Oh.
Whatever the Latin is for loincloth, they didn't have them. We burst out laughing, one with relief and two, how hilarious they looked. Then, having to keep the prank going, asked why they were dressed in tablecloths, which actually, now we looked, were very much like the ones we'd just eaten our dinner off in the taverna. I think that's my moussaka stain right there.
Oh, no.
Someone's nicked our clothes and stuff while we were swimming, said my husband. I say, oh, no, that's a bit low, trying to keep a straight face. How annoying for you. Maybe it was a dog. My husband says, of course it wasn't a dog, you stupid woman. It must have been kids. It's always kids. They're up to no good, being kids and everything. My sister says, where did you get the tablecloths from? So my brother-in-law says, well, after wondering what to do, we wrapped ourselves in sun loungers. And we shuffled along. Wrapped in a sun lounger.
Yeah, that works.
Then we ran over to the taverna, like little mini tanks, where we'd been eating. Luckily, they were just locking up, and they had a good laugh about it. And then we asked if they had any towels that we could borrow, and they said, only tea towels, sir.
Oh, wow.
Would that be enough?
Yeah.
How rude. How rude we thought they were. How insulting. Anyway, they let us have these tablecloths. Pre-stained, as you can see.
Okay.
Anyway, so we laughed and laughed, and then we laughed a little bit more. We played along, and then, before we could do anything, they cancelled all their cards, and the whole prank had escalated somewhat.
Okay.
Now, you see, my sister and I are therefore asking for your forgiveness, Father Simon, and the other lot. After all these years, guys, it was us. It wasn't the kids from COS, which sounds like an 80s TV musical sequel.
Yeah.
It wasn't the kids from COS. It was Deborah and Lizzie, sisters. Sorry about the embarrassment, the tablecloths and the tea towels. I've forgotten how funny this was until I started writing it again, says Deborah and Lizzie, the authors of tonight's confession, more nudity in COS. Don't you just love it when the Brits go abroad? Anyway, always run a mile if someone says, should we just do a
sister? No,
yeah, no.
I don't think I will, actually.
Sister Susie, producing from the pub.
Well, unless you've got someone to look after. So if you've got someone on watch on the beach, then maybe you could go for a skinny dip. But leaving the clothes on the beach? No chance. Now, I've got two issues with this story. One, how could you blame it on a dog? Like, what mouth has that dog got to be able to pick all of it up? Has he got a little
bag
on his back?
Yes.
And
say.
Then two, how do you wrap yourself in a sun lounger?
I suppose you fold it around you.
Yeah, maybe. Or could you carry two and walk sideways? I don't know.
It's not a great look anyway, is it?
It's not a great look. But, you know, just for the the giggles, I'm going to forgive you, Debbie and Lizzie, because I think that was very fun.
Brother Matthew.
Yes, skinny dipping always a little too fabulous for me. Thanks very much. I love the fact that there's no remorse at all in this. I didn't realise how funny it was until I started writing it again. Brilliant. Always hit it through to the bitter end. And if possible, always blame it on a naughty dog. That's always my philosophy in life. So, yes, definitely forgiven.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Two things to say. First of all, nudity. There hasn't been a lot of nudity on the Confessions podcast recently.
No, that's no. True, yes.
I'm not quite sure what the matter is there. But more anyway, that usually goes down relatively well, I think. Also, there's Susie producing from the pub, and Susie is back on the show next week.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And she's producing from the pub, so the drinks trolley will...
Ah, the return of the trolley. There it is.
Welcome return. So I think just listening to that, Susie actually forgave Holly, and I don't think you would have forgiven that.
I don't, yes.
I think there might be a collapse in standards next week. And that high bar, moral bar which you've
so
set
true. Yeah.
is going to sort of collapse a little because Susie's just a bit lax.
Susie's a nicer lady than me, I think. Yeah. the long and the short.
Yeah. Matt says that. thank you very much indeed for listening to us. If you have a request for a classic confession, or you just remember something vaguely which made you laugh, let us know about it. We'll see if we can dig it out. confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Wrapping up this week's service, as always, is Brother Matt with the secret code phrase.
Which this week is online snuff. Online snuff is what you need to be tweeting at Simon or sending it to him on your blue skies.
Blue skies.
On your threads.
Mr. Simon Mayo. And yes. Twitter is just
I'm the
Simon
Twitter. Man. Yeah. Lovely.
That's the only thing I can do, I think. Yeah. If you listen this far, you can tweet me there, or you can thread me there, or you can blue sky me.
Do blue sky howling into the void.
Finally, don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to this podcast. Keep telling everyone. Knock on your neighbours' doors and tell them that the Confessions podcast is back. Until next time, Sister Holly says...
Bye-bye.
That was quite folksy.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Very good.
And Brother Matthew.
TTFN. That's what the kids are saying. I understand. TTFN.
I don't think so.
Yes,
it was Jimmy Young in the 60s.
Jimmy Young. Wow.
Anyway, I'm Simon Mayo, and thank you and bless you very much for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.